Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're tuning in from one of our Minnesota radio stations, our national broadcast, or from a podcast platform, we are glad that you are here. On today's show, we continue our year-in-review series with guests from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And kicking things off today is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly has been in position since June of 2013 and is a retired captain from the United States Navy. Director, thank you for being here and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, thank you for having us back. This is always a pleasure to do this year in review show. A good opportunity for us to review and think back and look forward. And so thanks for being hosting this. And it's always nice talking to your listeners.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your willingness to do this. It's a little bit out of the norm. You know, we'd get you on the program and maybe you get to spend, you know, 8 minutes or something with us, 5 minutes occasionally. And, you know, good to have you here. We're going to have you for the whole show today. And you're going to talk about things that have been going on in 25, obviously. We're going to take a look ahead at 26. And you're going to introduce us to a couple of other folks from your team to talk about other great things going on with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. So, again, thank you for being here. And, of course, thank you for your service. All right, Director. I mean, this first segment, let's talk about 2025. I mean, it's been a crazy year, a good year. Let's talk about some of the highlights and what are the things that really stick out to you that you want to talk about today?
Well, it has been mostly a good year. You know, there have been changes this year. But again, I think, you know, looking back, looking at the things that we have done, there's a lot to be proud of. And so there's a few of those things, Doug, that I'd like to mention specifically. You know, one, and first, I'll talk about our quality recognition that we received in this last year. So every year, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services reviews all hospitals, not just federal hospitals, but all hospitals, and they give a rating, 1 to 5 stars, and the 5-star being the highest. And that is a measure of quality based on a number of clinical statistics and measures. And this year, for the second year in a row, we received a 5-star rating, 5 out of 5 stars. We were one of 9 hospitals in the state of Minnesota and the largest hospital in the metro area to receive that rating. The reason I'm so proud of that is that, you know, veterans can be assured if they engage in healthcare at the Minneapolis VA or in our clinics, they can know that they're going to get high-quality, evidence-based healthcare. And we owe that to veterans, and based on a lot of measures, but this one particularly, since it measures us against all hospitals, not just federal hospitals, they can be assured that it's going to be good and it's going to be consistent, and that's what we want them to know.
I would imagine that, you know, throughout the year, you have some type of a director's call in, for example, with, you know, many of the different VAs around the country. Is this one of those things? I mean, this is good bragging rights, isn't it? I mean, 2 years.
Well, I don't like to brag, of course.
But, oh, no. Why would we
No, they're actually, we have a lot to brag about at the Minneapolis VA. And again, I'm really talking about our staff, our employees now, the things that they have accomplished over the course of many years. You know, I've been here for 12 years, but long before I ever showed up, we have a Minnesota workforce that is just really unparalleled, I think. You know, like you, I served in the military many years. I've seen a lot of workers from a lot of different states. I'm really proud of the Minnesota workers, the Minnesota workforce, you know, commitment to veterans, work ethic. You know, despite what has been a fairly challenging year with the many changes with the new secretary, new administration, you know, people have stayed focused on our mission, which is taking care of veterans. And no matter what's happening externally, as long as we're focused on that mission of caring for veterans, and our staff is just superior at that. So, yes, I'm proud of the Minneapolis VA. We do a lot of things right.
You for sure do. And, you know, it's a Minnesota tradition. You know, you mentioned that, right, the workforce that we have. But just this state and the efforts to take care of our Minnesota veterans and our service members is really something to be proud of. Director, you mentioned that you've been, and I said it in your intro, that, you know, since 2013, you've been at the Minneapolis VA. So you've been in position for 12 years. And I would imagine from day one looking to now, there's a lot of things that have changed, some things that, you know, obviously you've been involved in. I'm just wondering if you might want to talk about, you know, some of those things over that course of that 12 years that are highlights for you as it relates to the Minneapolis VA.
There are a lot of highlights, you know, and some of the things, of course, that have not changed, Doug, include, you know, the consistent mission that we have. And really, we have four sort of mission areas. You know, one is, of course, our clinical work. We do that very well. We also do a lot of research at the Minneapolis VA. We do a lot of training at the Minneapolis VA. And then we have a fourth mission. And, you know, during COVID, looking back now over my 12 years, we were deeply embedded with the state of Minnesota and the Federal Emergency Management Agency in taking care of non-veteran Minnesotans who needed health care. We had capacity, the state didn't, and so we engaged in what's referred to as our fourth mission, which is caring for civilians when we have capacity to do so, and we did, and it was terrific. I hope we never do that again. I hope we never go through that level of challenge again. But that consistency with respect to those four mission areas has been, you know, it's just what we do and what people do at the Minneapolis VA. They remain committed to the mission and focused on those areas of their responsibility. You know, we've done a lot of construction. I mean, we've done a lot of physical changes. If people would go to the medical center, you know, when I first came here many years ago, we built a parking ramp. Well, that's now 12 years old. We just built a new specialty medicine clinic. We are going to cut a ribbon on a new women's clinic in the spring. Single bed rooms. We are transitioning to single bed rooms. We have increased our capacity for mental health beds in response to demand. So a lot of things, those are very visible things, but I think the very consistent thing has been, you know, again, our veterans can know that our staff is committed. And we recently, and Amy will talk a little bit about this later, but veterans trust us. Our veterans trust scores are in the 97th percentile range. Pretty remarkable, and again, that's means a lot to us because it tells us that veterans know that when they come to see us, they're going to get what they need, and everybody's committed to just that.
And, you know, you talk about the quality of your staff, and I'm assuming that you're also including the number of volunteers you have out at the Minneapolis VA.
We have over 700 volunteers. It's remarkable. So when veterans come to our VA, there's some people in red vests, you know, they're helping people to find their clinic and their appointment. We have people in blue vests that are escorts that are transporting patients around in wheelchairs around the hospital. We have volunteers embedded in most of our clinics. And again, they're helping with all of those tasks that support our clinical providers in order that they can do their work. And many of the logistics and support services can be provided by somebody else. It's a remarkable commitment by our staff. We had the wheelchair games this past summer, and during the wheelchair games, we had a ton of volunteers, you know, from all over the state of Minnesota, to include many who work at the medical center. So, yeah, there's a deep commitment with veterans and veterans volunteers. Many of whom are veterans themselves, not all. But we're always taking more volunteers, so if anybody wants to volunteer, come and see us. It's a great help.
Yeah. Well, and to be involved in some of those national programs, you mentioned the wheelchair games. You know, we did a radio show from out at the wheelchair games, which was just fantastic. And then I brought a team of my coworkers out to volunteer to do the cornhole, and also had my family, my wife and my daughter, and I went out. And it was so much fun. And, you know, to know that opportunity existed and to have, had I known what it was about, never did, I'd be really disappointed. And after we did it, we're like, God, we want to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much fun. And I did recognize, because I know a lot of your staff out there, the number of people that were there in yellow shirts, mm-hmm. volunteering, taking time off to go and support that event. So you guys did a fantastic job with running that. We're going to run out of time here in this segment, but I just, you know, you mentioned the 5-star awards. Are there any other awards that you want to highlight as it relates to? Because you guys receive all sorts of recognition. And I think it's important that our audience knows that you're still doing great things.
So maybe a couple that I'd specifically like to mention, Doug. One is we were recognized as an employer in the employee support for the Garden Reserve program. That's important to us. Many of our staff are engaged with the Minnesota Garden Reserve. And so we're a good employer. We support that, and we want our staff engaged in that way. It helps us in caring for veterans. They're more fully understanding of what some of those needs are. And then I will just mention, too, for the last 10 years, we have received a bevy of environmental excellence awards. You know, we have a terrific staff who we are a top 25 hospital in the nation for environmental excellence, and we have been for 10 years running. And so, again, we take pride in that. It matters. We don't have to do it, but it's something that we value, and it's something that we have been really good at over the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, congratulations on the great successes. Director, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back in, and we're going to bring a couple of other guests in to talk about the Minneapolis VA and the great things going on out there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me today is Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're talking year in review and Director, you know, a lot of great accomplishments over at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And we wanted to bring in a couple of staff members from the Minneapolis VA and let them share about their experiences. So you brought two guests along with you. I'd love to give you the opportunity to introduce them to our audience.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'm sure your listeners were tired of listening to me, so we brought some really good people into this time. So a couple of our executive team members we've brought along this time, Doug. So first, I'll introduce Amy Archer. So Amy was appointed as the associate director and our chief experience officer in June of 2022. She had previously served as our social work executive at the Minneapolis VA. And she has about 30 years of experience at our VA. She's the daughter of a Navy veteran. So Amy's a terrific asset for us, really understands the needs of veterans and the needs of our staff. That's her job. She's really great at it. So that's Amy Archer. Also with us today is Sue Ricker. So Sue also is a social worker. Social workers do very well at our site, as you can see. So Sue was appointed as the associate director for operations, the chief operating officer, effectively, in December of 2024. Sue began her career with us in 1996 and has held a number of increasingly important leadership positions in her time here, starting as a social worker and working her way up through mental health, hospital administrative services, and now she oversees our whole bevy of hospital administrative services. And she's going to talk about some of those. So Sue Ricker, great employee, great asset for the Minneapolis VA.
Awesome. Well, Amy and Sue, welcome here to Minnesota Military Radio. Well, this is where you're supposed to say thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, all right. Perfect. I thought maybe you were taking a nap over there or something like that. After this long introduction from the director, you're like, well, he said everything, I suppose. No, it is. It's good to have you here. And, you know, to get another perspective, right? We have the opportunity on Minnesota Military Radio to, you know, hear from the director. We hear from other staff members of the Minneapolis VA. But not a lot of other executive team members. So good to have you in here. And before we really get into the nuts and bolts, I guess, of the interview, if you will, I'd like to maybe hear a little bit from each of you about what got you started and what brought you to the Minneapolis VA. Why did you choose this as your path? And so, Amy, I'll start with you.
Thank you very much. So I started at the Minneapolis VA as a social work intern, and was fortunate enough after that opportunity to get hired at the VA. Worked as a social worker for many years, was a supervisor, and as Mr. Kelly said, was our social work executive for about 12 years. I initially wanted to come to the VA because I was just very interested in serving veterans, having family members that were veterans. As Mr. Kelly said, my dad is a Navy veteran. So that's what initially drew my interest in practicing social work at the VA.
And So when you said that you started off there as an intern, does that mean that you were just wrapping up with your degree and you were looking for that opportunity? So that was like, that was your in.
Correct. It was my in. And I had a lot of different opportunities that I could choose from for my internship. And I chose the VA, and I was fortunate enough for them to choose me.
And here you are many years later, still after it. So thank you for taking care of our Minnesota veterans. And Sue, what about you? What brought you over to the VA? What's kept you at the VA?
Similar path as Amy, also a social work intern. I actually interned at the university in pediatric oncology and wanted to do something completely different, which was geriatrics down in our community living center. My grandfather-in-law at the time was receiving care, spoke very highly of the VA, and just fell in love with it. I spent a lot of time with mental health services and then was hired into the mental health intensive case management program. Spent about 12 years down there. Worked in compliance for the director, then ran the health administration services, where I had exposure to all of the admin service chiefs that I currently supervise. Great staff, great purpose, great mission. Thrilled to be here from 30 years ago and still today, and great leadership team. So thanks for having us.
So Sue, 30 years, and then Amy, how many years?
28.
28. So director, you know, that's, I don't do public math, but that's an easy one. That's 58 years of experience right there between two members of your executive team. I mean, that has to make you feel pretty good.
Well, you know, we very purposefully try to get a mix of veterans and sort of staff who have gained knowledge and a reputation at our facility. So both Sue and Amy, having come up through the system, are very well known by the staff, and the staff feel very comfortable coming to them and sharing things and working with them. I didn't come up through the system, so I really need people with their expertise and knowledge. The same is true of our chief of staff, Dr. Mike Armstrong, or our nurse executive, Teresa Tungsen. All four of those executive team members came up through our system and are very familiar with the VA serving veterans. And you know, Sue and Amy are great examples of how you can start out, you start out at the beginning, you know, as an intern, and then you rise based on your great performance and skills. And so Amy and Sue, terrific employees, do a great job for veterans at the Minneapolis VA.
I would like to know from you two, because it's been almost 30 years for both of you, right? You know, we talked about just the 12 years that the director has been at the Minneapolis VA and the number of changes. You know, I remember the first time I walked in to the Minneapolis VA back in 1991. You know, so Sue, you know, what do you think is the biggest change that you've seen out at the Minneapolis VA?
Right now, I would say the infrastructure changes that have happened. We've expanded services. We've added buildings. PACT Act implementation brought in more veterans for us. We continually evaluate the care that we're providing and the workflow, and then making those changes as we go, whether that is moving a service into our flag atrium, which is our larger veteran-facing services. So I think just the larger facility, the parking ramp, all of the things that happen over the course of my 30 years.
And Amy, is there something in particular that you're like, oh, I am so glad that this has changed over the course of the 30 years?
Oh, wow. What a great question that I'm thrilled has changed. That's your...
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, honestly, I can't think of anything. You know, I think that the VA has really evolved to the needs of our veterans. And I think it's such a great executive team that we have. And just as Mr. Kelly said, our staff as a whole, I think just are very resilient in terms of always kind of flowing, you know, with the different changes that have come. We have a new electronic medical record that's going to be coming next year. And we're all getting prepped for that big change that's going to be coming that will improve services and documentation for our patients and staff.
You know, Director, you mentioned it during your segment about the women's clinic. And I have to believe that that is a very significant change, you know, to go from this thought of, you know, veterans are veterans, which mm-hmm. they are, but to provide a place for care that is specific for a need, right, where we can separate and allow them to get our females mm-hmm. to get the care that they need separate from the larger facility. That's a huge improvement.
Yeah. I mean, as you asked that question, Doug, it's a great question. I think about how the services and even the reputation of the VA has changed over the last 30 years from when our Vietnam-era veterans were returning, right? Every time I go to a public event and I'm introduced, it's not uncommon that they say, you know, they tell what a great experience they've had at the VA, but there's a little bit of a caveat, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, that, well, we know the VA's in the news and occasionally, you know, things don't go well. That's kind of old news. I mean, for the most part, you know, we have really sort of turned beyond that. And I think the level of services to include opening a new women's clinic, that's critical. That's really important. But that's indicative, I believe, of how we're trying to be responsive to all of our veterans groups.
Right.
Of course, to include women's veterans, because there's more and more women veterans. And we are so pleased that that number of women veterans continues to grow and will continue to grow.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Again, indicative of, you know, you listening, the greater VA listening to the needs mm-hmm. of the customer, our veterans, and providing the resources that that are needed to take care of them where they are at. We're going to take another quick break here. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about customer experience, understand what the heck that means, and we'll dive into some other things as well. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System with me, Patrick Kelly's helping me out doing our year in review. And we're speaking with Amy Archer and Sue Ricker as well. And both Amy and Sue are associate directors. And Amy, I want to come to you because your title is Chief Experience Officer of the Minneapolis VA. And I'm just wondering, what the heck does that mean? Because when I think of an experience, I'm thinking about excursions, maybe a cruise, maybe a concert, I don't know, something out on the nightlife. But talk to us a little bit about what it means as the Veteran Experience Officer.
Sure, happy to. And I get that question a lot. What does that mean? As Mr. Kelly said earlier, in my role as the Chief Experience Officer, I'm really focused on the experience of veterans in addition to the experience of staff, because they very much interconnect. So in terms of patient experience, we have some great survey platforms that have been developed by the VA that are sent out to our veterans, and we get amazing response rate back from our veterans in terms of things that they're happy about, concerns that they have. Even one of our surveys uses artificial intelligence to pick up on a concern that a veteran may state, and it goes directly to our patient advocate office, and they're able to call the veteran in real time and resolve the issue. So we just have great mechanisms to be able to get feedback from our patients. And then we actively trend themes that we're hearing from our patients. And, you know, we put a team of people together to try to solve that issue, whether it's something related to parking, maybe we're having some signage challenges where veterans are finding it maybe difficult to get to a certain area, and we really work as a team to resolve the issues that that come forward.
Is most of that communication done then through surveys, or do you have some like in-person type events or opportunities mm-hmm. where you're able to collect some of that data?
Yeah, great question. A lot of it is surveys. We certainly use our forums that we have with our veterans town halls, I should say, to gain feedback from our patients. You know, a lot of it, honestly, can be hallway conversations with patients or coming up to the director's office. We also engage a lot with our staff who are telling us, you know, maybe it's a concern that they're hearing from patients. Maybe there's some theme that they're hearing, or maybe there's a concern that maybe they have on behalf of our patients. So we do a lot of partnership and collaboration with our staff across the facility as they're providing the direct patient care to our veterans. They can give us a lot of really great feedback as well.
And Director, I would imagine that this is something you really keep your ears open for because, you know, this plays into how the VA is rated. You know, the mm-hmm. customer satisfaction is extremely important. So I'm guessing you rely on Amy to make sure that she's keeping you in tune with the things that are going on.
It matters a lot. And so the other thing that Amy didn't mention that I will add is that, you know, we have a lot of partners in service organizations and county veteran service officers and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and MACV and other, you know, state organizations that give us a lot of positive feedback that help us to shape services appropriate for their constituents. And so yeah, no, it matters a lot. We value veterans' input, and we change based on that input. So we're trying to be as responsive as we can and listen. Those survey tools and those customers really help us do that.
And Amy, just explain it one more time here. So someone has an issue that they bring forward, and maybe it is a recurring theme, right? So you're collecting that data, and then you're not farming it, but you're getting it to the right entity to help to address it. Is that how that works?
Correct. Yes, we're getting it to the right entity. You know, sometimes, you know, the feedback is coming directly to the patient advocates, and they're resolving it directly with the, you know, the area that, you know, in terms of the issue, where the issue came from. So they're resolving it. Sometimes we're putting together a team of experts within the facility that can help us resolve it.
Yeah, no, it's extremely important. And I think really the important thing, Director, is action, right? It's one thing to just collect all this data, but if you just sit on it and never do anything with it, well, then what's good having the data?
That's a great point. We have a lot of data. The VA is data rich. So so action-oriented solutions, that's key. Good, yeah. Great point, Doug.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so let's come over. We're going to put Sue in the hot seat for a quick second here. You're an associate director, all right? You've got a lot of things on your plate too, right? So talk to us a little bit about some of the big stuff. And I hear that budget and construction is right in your wheelhouse.
It is. So just for background, admin services, that makes up about 14% of our employees, and that includes human resources, finance, budget, law enforcement, health administration, which I mentioned is where I came from, biomed, engineering, facilities, housekeeping, maintenance. So all of these entities, construction and finance, are working together to help with the patient care delivery within our healthcare system. Sometimes I think we talk a lot about the clinicians, but you forget about the infrastructure that is in place to help with safety and patient care. So yes, we had a large budget that we executed last year. We had lots of changes along the way from some staffing limitations and some contract changes. What I would say on the admin side of the house is really people are resilient. We spent a lot of time cross-training, really adjusting to change. Where could we shore up a service that maybe was down based on retirements or just changes within the workflow? And lots of creative administrative chiefs coming up with ideas to fill some of the gaps. And for the most part, people just jump in. They'll do whatever needs to happen in order to get the job done. Really proud of the admin services. And construction is huge. We've had lots of great changes from additional buildings, but the main medical center was built in 88, and our outbuildings, which have really been a nice resource for us as people are returning to the office, there are some challenges with the maintenance of those. So it's really tapped some of our resources, but both our logistics chief and our engineering chief were also maintaining the facility while they were assisting with the success of the wheelchair game. So a lot going on.
One of the things that Mr. Lyons loved to give the director a hard time about was the hard hat, always having to have a hard hat on. So I'm assuming if you're, you know, overseeing some construction, maybe you've had a hard hat on a time or two and checking things out.
Sure have.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look at, you know, again, your time at the Minneapolis VA, the role you're in now with overseeing budget and construction, is there a specific construction project that you're really most proud of that you recall?
I would say a number of them. So we've had the opportunity to go in and see the changes within the new mental health area. That's really beautiful. The outdoor space is also a wonderful opportunity for our patients to have access to open air. We're projecting another sort of out air project related to our an extension of our community living center. The women's clinic, our specialty care clinic, all of those are just amazing. And I would say that we have some staff within interior design that have been amazing in terms of the color, the flow. Just really proud of all of the staff in engineering, construction, facilities.
Yeah, well, and there's a ton going on. And Director, We're going to roll into another break here. We're going to come back, and this is forewarning to both of you again. I'm going to talk, or I want to ask you about your memorable moment from 2025, because this is still a year in review show. And then you've mentioned the wheelchair games a little bit, so I want to talk about that again. And then, of course, looking ahead, and we'll do all that in the next segment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're doing our year in review show with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Patrick Kelly in the studio with me, along with Amy Archer and Sue Ricker. And, you know, this is our last segment. We've been talking about a lot of the great successes of over 2025. And Director, I do want to start with you on this one. And I'm just wondering if there have been any type of medical care changes, significant changes that you might want to talk about from 2025?
So thanks, Doug. Maybe I'll mention a couple things that have not changed. You know, we do all medical care, with the exception of transplant services at our Minneapolis VA. Lots of neurosurgery, lots of complex cardiac care case. One of the things that we have changed in the last year that had been a real enhancement is that we are moving more services from the medical center into our community-based clinics in order that veterans can get those services closer to where they live. And so we have 14 community-based clinics. We can now provide several of those services that were previously only provided in the medical center. We can provide those out into the community-based clinics in order that that veteran who lives in Hibbing doesn't need to come to Minneapolis to get that care. So we are doing that more and more. It's been hugely successful. Veterans like it, of course. So we're going to continue with more of that, more telehealth, more services in our community-based clinics, and just taking care closer to where veterans live to make it easier to use the VA.
Yeah, no, I mean, extremely important, right? I mean, it's such a valuable resource, the VA is. And, you know, you were kind of mentioned before about some of the comments, right? And it's not the way it was when our Vietnam veterans were coming back, having to use the VA. Heck, it's not even the same as when I first used the VA back in, like I said, 1991. So to, again, constantly try to get to where our clients are, our veterans are, that's just huge kudos to you guys for continuing to push that ball, because we do want people to use those resources. And I mean, that they earned them.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what we hear. Amy was talking about surveys. Veterans tell us that. They don't want to get on the road if they don't have to. Yeah. So we end up buying a lot of care for veterans, but where we can provide care in the VA, they prefer it. Veterans prefer it. We hear that all the time. So this is our effort to do that more robustly closer to where veterans live. It's been successful. It was a good change this last year.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, but in the last segment, I said that I was going to come back to Amy and Sue and kind of get a, hey, what were you most proud about in 2025? There was a little bit of, you know, consternation and maybe, you know, we'll do this or that. But you guys have settled on what you want to talk about. And so I'm going to come over to Amy first. Let's talk about what are you most proud of from 2025?
Yeah, thank you. What I'm most proud of is our efforts around food insecurity with our veterans. So besides providing high quality health care to our veterans, we also want to address the other needs that they have. And a huge issue with our veterans is food insecurity. So we host a monthly food pantry, partner with Second Harvest, who's been an amazing partner. I know you had Rachel Hammer on several weeks ago to talk more about that, but I'm just really proud of the efforts that we've made to address food insecurity within the medical center. And now we are also expanding to some of our community-based outpatient clinics as well. In addition to providing food for our veterans at this pantry, we also have other services available, which I think is equally as important. So we have social workers there who are giving resources for ongoing food insecurity needs. We have chaplaincy there. We have members of our suicide prevention team. So we're not just addressing food insecurity. We're also addressing other issues that face our patients.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing to be proud of. Rachel invited a team from the MDVA out there for the food pantry. And, you know, so I went out there as well. And, you know, there was a significant line built up before it opened up. And just for Rachel to explain what resources are available on site, you know, it's one thing to provide food to someone who needs it, but it's another thing to connect them to the resources that they might need aside from needing some food in their pantry. So that's an awesome good news story. So thanks for sharing that. All right, Sue, I know what you want to talk about, but go ahead.
Just a comment that I, too, will say. I'm proud of the efforts that the food pantry has provided. I haven't been involved at all other than to just observe, like you mentioned, the flow. We've had so many people coming in and receiving resources and a wonderful thing. But I did want to talk about the wheelchair games again. I feel as though we've been living it for such a long period of time. Last year, myself and others were able to attend the games in New Orleans, and some of the admin staff and medical center staff were able to participate, not only in learning their flow, but looking for ways to improve the process. And I would say, hands down, we did an amazing job. And then at the medical center, we not only had a recognition at the convention center, but then brought it back home, if you will, to acknowledge all of the people that worked down at the games, but then also maintained the functions of the medical center at the same time. So just amazing event. You hosted our logistics chief, Jerry Gunn, and Dr. Sank in July. Also a great overview of all of the good work that was done.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I interviewed Dr. Sank, I said, are you old enough to be a doctor? I mean, seriously, you know, come on. But no, the team was great. And, you know, a couple of great interviews too, you know, the logistics side to obviously the medical care. So extremely important. And another event to be very proud of. And I don't know, is it going to be another 25 years before it comes back? You know, we'll see, right? All right, Director, we only have a few minutes left. And I want to make sure I get to you about the look ahead, right? We've talked a lot about 2025, great things over the last number of years that you all have been involved, but what's coming up?
Yeah, so I want to just briefly follow up on the food pantry, food insecurity issue. I noticed that the governor on Veterans Day this past year declared a statewide effort to support veteran food insecurity too. So we're lucky in our state. We have a great group of partners who are together leading efforts on homelessness and suicide prevention and food insecurity. Those are many things that are not traditional healthcare or traditional healthcare mission, but that really matter to veterans. And so, you know, our mission, our goal is to improve the lives of veterans. it's not just healthcare. And so we are getting great help from, again, I mentioned MACV, I mentioned MDVEA, our county veteran service officers, our veteran service organizations, Minnesota Military Radio. We have a group of partners in our state that I think are really making a difference. And I think we will continue to grow and expand those relationships, all for the good of veterans. But we are very fortunate in our state. We have a great group of partners to work with in our state. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So we've got about just over a minute and a half with you. And, you know, the food pantry is going to continue. It was mentioned that you're expanding to Twin Ports and St. James with plans to go even further to other CBOCs where we can. I know there's great partnerships in place with, obviously, Second Harvest. Tom Lyons is a veteran food pantry. The MDVA is doing some supporting efforts. These are great partnerships and a great thing to look forward to.
Yeah, we have heard it on your show before about all these great partners, and we are unconstrained by financial resources to help veterans with food insecurity because of those partnerships. I mean, the nonprofit that Tom started is remarkable. That is making a difference. And now, again, the additional commitment by the state, by county veteran service officers. Now, some of the counties are sponsoring some of their own food insecurity efforts. So there's going to be a lot of good things happening in this next year. But I think our doubling down on meeting this need for veterans. And as you absolutely correctly point out, it's not just about getting a zucchini. This is about helping and addressing their needs much more comprehensively. And I think it's working.
Absolutely. Well, Director Pat Kelly, thanks so much for joining us. And Amy Archer, Sue Ricker from the Minneapolis VA as well. It's been great to have you here and talk about the year in review, and look forward to hearing more from you in 2026 and seeing all the great things you guys are going to continue to accomplish.
Great. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts, your questions, or recommendations. Next week, we'll continue our Year in Review series with guests from the Commander's Task Force. Today's show and all previous shows can be found on MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and that you find a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so that we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.